There's a peculiar exhaustion that comes from achieving everything you thought you wanted, only to wake up feeling empty. We cross finish lines, hang medals, buy houses, land promotions, yet the satisfaction evaporates faster than morning dew. This isn't failure. It's the trap of chasing happiness as if it were a destination rather than a fleeting visitor. Research from a 75-year Harvard study revealed something startling. The happiest people weren't the wealthiest, most educated, or most successful. They were simply those who loved others well and cultivated deep connections. Happiness operates like those delicate garden flowers, requiring perfect soil, precise watering, exact sunlight. Beautiful, but fragile, dependent on ideal conditions. Joy, however, grows like a weed. It blooms in sidewalk cracks, hospital waiting rooms, and financial struggles. It doesn't wait for permission or perfect circumstances. What if your greatest weapon against darkness wasn't anger or hatred, but something far more radical? After being literally thrown into a trash can by middle school bullies, then rescued by her first crush, Jamie, only to have her heart broken when he chose someone else, the instinct was predictable: weaponized rage. Later, when a college boyfriend's betrayal sent academics spiraling toward probation, anger again seemed like the obvious shield. But here's the twist. When that same ex called years later with genuine remorse, forgiveness dissolved the hatred like salt and water, leaving peace where resentment once festered. We often think of emotions as simple opposites, joy versus sadness, love versus hate. But like Newton's color wheel, where green opposes red, not blue, our inner lives are far more complex. Joy isn't the absence of pain. It's a force that can coexist with suffering, a light that doesn't extinguish darkness by fighting it, but by simply shining brighter. While happiness is the runner's high that fades after crossing the finish line, joy is that wild, resilient force that flourishes wherever it's planted, asking only that we notice it pushing through concrete to reach the sun. At a family cemetery, Holland spotted the dash between birth and death dates on a great-grandmother's grave and asked, "Does this mean she was a math teacher?" That tiny symbol represented an entire life, every laugh, heartbreak, and ordinary Tuesday compressed into a single line. Then Holland pranced by with grave flowers in her hair, announcing, "Look, Mommy, I am Tafiti." Mortality meeting childlike joy in a graveyard. We're all playing supermarket sweep with our lives, racing through limited time deciding what to grab. Too often, we load up on trivial bags of beans, distractions, resentments, endless scrolling, instead of what truly matters. Tim McGraw sang about living like you're dying, but here's the truth. We are dying, every single day. Only by accepting our mortality can we fully engage in joyful living. Getting kicked out of college felt like the end. New roommate, new year, same me. The problems followed every geographic change because the solution wasn't external. It was about understanding time itself. There was constant mental bargaining. When I lose 20 pounds, I'll be happy. Joy kept getting pushed into some idealized future that never arrived. As a preschool teacher, the magic of bear hunt storytelling wasn't creativity, it was full presence, making monster noises, matching children's enthusiasm with genuine engagement. That's when joy showed up, not in the next achievement, but in being fully here, now. Our fiercest battles happen inside our heads, where internal critics attack relentlessly. You're not good enough. Everyone else has it figured out. When a therapist suggested, "Be kind to yourself," the interpretation missed the mark. Indulgent lunches, frequent massages, endless pajama days. These weren't bad, but they didn't address the real issue. The relationship between mental and emotional selves needed repair. Self-compassion, not self-esteem, is the crucial element. Unlike self-esteem, which depends on external achievements, self-compassion means treating ourselves like we'd treat a dear friend struggling through hard times. Joy has a unique signature for each person, a personal frequency resonating differently for everyone. Joy constantly calls us back to our authentic selves, like a beacon guiding us home. The challenge isn't joy's availability. It's always present, but quieting the harsh inner critic long enough to hear its call. Joy exists in present tense, not as a future reward, but as the experience of being alive right now, mess and all. Despite social anxiety, the research is clear. Community is the single most important factor for a joyful life. Studies from the Great Depression showed the happiest people weren't the wealthiest. They were those with deep connections and mutual love. Joy requires vulnerability and courage to risk your heart on friendship. That physical ache when isolated isn't just psychological. It's your body signaling a fundamental human need. Major life transitions reveal poor relationships. You can typically count on one hand the friends who remain steadfast through career changes, moves, and personal transformations. Think of friendships like planetary orbits. Each person follows their unique trajectory, sometimes moving close, other times maintaining distance, yet still connected by invisible forces of mutual care. Building community requires showing up consistently, even when uncomfortable. It isn't solely about serving others' needs. It's equally about fulfilling your own requirements for encouragement and emotional sustenance. Show up for yourself first, creating a foundation of self-acceptance and authenticity. When you approach community from this grounded place, crazy joy naturally emerges. Teddy Roosevelt nailed it. Comparison is the thief of joy. Studies show comparative thoughts consume 12% of our thinking, a constant drone stealing peace. Social media amplifies this as we scroll through curated highlight reels, comparing our messy behind the scenes to everyone else's polished final cuts. Why aim for a target that shapeshifts daily? Instead, embrace uniqueness. I'm not a PTA mom, and that's okay. I'm not less than, I'm a different shape. There is only one you, this one, today, this moment. Identify where those you're not enough voices originate, social media, gossipy friends, certain shows, and eliminate them. Joy is precious when we stop measuring it against someone else's version and recognize our own distinctive shape. In Chasing Mavericks, massive waves create the wash, a chaotic wall of white water trapping surfers underwater. The protagonist surfaces after 3 minutes, smiling and unbeaten. That desperate gasp for air mirrors how our souls fight for joy during crisis. During COVID-19, celebrating felt inappropriate, like bringing a smiley balloon to a funeral. But this thinking prevents healing. Joy isn't decorative. It's essential for survival. When we lose joy, we lose resilience, connection, and ability to see beyond current circumstances. Dark humor in difficult moments is our soul coming up for air, a natural coping mechanism healthcare workers and first responders use to maintain mental health. Unlike surfers who choose their waves, we don't determine which crises we face or when they arrive. Life alternates between smooth sailing and maverick-sized challenges without warning. To survive, we must practice holding on to joy through daily rituals, maintaining connections, and finding meaning in simple pleasures. Joy nurtures defiance against crushing adversity and keeps your soul fighting when everything suggests surrender. Joy doesn't wait for perfect circumstances, healed trauma, or resolved anxiety. It blooms in unexpected places, in graveyards where children wear flowers in their hair, in gasping for air after 3 minutes underwater, in present tense moments when we stop bargaining with the future. Like the upside down in Stranger Things, trauma touches everyone, but so does joy, if we're brave enough to venture beyond the shallows. Joy defies simple definition. It's deeper than happiness, manifesting as a richness that puts fire in your eyes and steel in your spine. It reveals itself in how you love your people fiercely and yourself gently, in children's uninhibited laughter, in age-old hymns that still raise goosebumps, in your mother's cooking that tastes like childhood. So look at life's wild, foamy ocean and declare, "I'm going to surf those waves." When you wipe out, and you will, hold on to joy like a lifeline. When caught in the wash, fight for air. When you surface, paddle back out to the break, because that's where the real living happens. Joy is constantly available, waiting for us to quiet the harsh voices long enough to hear its call back home.